Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, September 18th. We've got two really good reasons to be happy on this Sunday night. The first one is that the Cowboys won a very exciting game. If you didn't watch it, it was the last-minute field goal. And then, of course, the other reason is that we have with us tonight our friend George Rodriguez from San Antonio, who promised me he was going to be wearing a Cowboys helmet. So you forgot that, George.
Yes. I've lost some weight, so it was looking a little, I look more like Darth Vader.
Okay. So I can see your helmet. It's an invisible helmet. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you're wearing a helmet. But that was a pretty exciting win. That was a scary win, really.
It was a scary win. It's one of those heart stoppers.
Yeah. I mean, because it came down to, I guess, the last minute or two, and the Cowboys didn't do anything in the second half except win the game.
I certainly thought it was going to be a blowout at the very beginning, but
But at least, you know, they're 1-1, so we can give them credit for that. We have a person tuning in. I am. He says hello to both of us, gentlemen. George, they're calling us gentlemen.
How about
that? That is really an honor.
I am.
So thank you very much, my friend, for calling us gentlemen. But we want to get into three topics with George tonight. There's three big topics here in Texas that are taking the news. The first one, of course, is these buses and the reaction to these buses. If you've been following the news here for the last couple of weeks, it started out with buses, and now we even have a flight to Nantucket. Is that the name of the island, Nantucket? And it seems to be a very popular place where people hang out up there. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the governor's race and get reactions on that. And then we're going to get an update from George on those three congressional seats down on the border. There's three interesting races going on down there that could end up in the hands. I mean, the victors in those three congressional seats could be three Republican ladies. One of them is already an incumbent, but the other two who are running. So we'll get his update on that. But George, let's begin with the buses. It started out a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It's growing. How are people in South Texas reacting to this? Well, what are they saying down there about, you know, these buses and these Democrats up in New York and Washington complaining that they don't have resources, George?
Well, I had four people on my show on my radio show yesterday, all of them from South Texas. All of them were speaking regarding this whole issue of the problems that they have been seeing for the past, I'd say, 18 months. You could call it 2 years, but definitely the past 18 months. The problem that they have been seeing with damage to their property, break-ins to their homes, loss of livestock, et cetera, car chases that are now reaching Bexar County here in San Antonio from the border. You know, this has been an ongoing situation, like I said, for 18 months. And we're talking thousands of people daily. And for these people to declare themselves, first of all, sanctuary communities in a very, very sanctimonious way, and then to claim that they are going to welcome illegal aliens, and then for them to condemn our desire to close the border, but then they get 50 people into their community and they freak out. I mean, it is the height of hypocrisy, and these folks down here are just are angry as well as amused at the reaction in Chicago and New York, and particularly in Cape Cod
Nantucket. I think it's is it Cape Cod or Nantucket? I don't remember which one is. I think it's Nantucket is the name of the island. Maybe Cape Cod is the name of the city. I'm not 100%, but I think you're right. I mean, they should be asking, talk about resources. They should be asking the mayor of Del Rio, Texas.
Who's a Democrat.
He is a Democrat. Yeah, they should be asking him about resources.
In fact, very interestingly, let me tell you, Silvio, the city of Del Rio just put out a notice on Friday about shootings that have erupted now from the cartels in Del Rio. So the boldness, the problems that are going on regarding the territorial fights in Mexico that we have been seeing for the past 20, 30 years are now crossing the border.
Right. Well, and this is the issue I think that many people overlook, the ones who are criticizing or who don't understand the border situation. You know, people say, we're using these people, or Governor Abbott is using these people as props. And honestly, everybody's using these people. The Democrats use them.
That's exactly right.
And they fly them at 2 o'clock in the morning. And sadly, the cartels are using them too. The criminal elements, as I like to say, they're also using them, because we have a situation where many of these people are paying money to come up here. And, you know, and they're being encouraged to come up here, and they're paying money, and they show up. But here's the question, George. I don't know if you've thought about this, but here's the question that continues to completely confuse me. So you come over, a person comes over, they're granted a temporary asylum, I guess, and they come over, and they're going to be waiting in the United States for the judge to look at their case. That's sort of the way they're coming in. And roughly 2 million people have come in that way. What do they do in the interim?
They disappear. That's the problem.
I mean, what do they do? They cannot get a job because they don't have the ability to work legally. They don't have a work visa.
But they do get jobs.
Well, yeah, they can get jobs, obviously, illegally, right? Yeah, but I'm just saying, and many of them probably will.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is they cannot work. They're going to have to live somewhere. And I use the example of our family, the Cubans, when we came here. When the Cubans came, because of an act of Congress, we were given, as soon as we went through the paperwork, we were pretty much given residency. So as a consequence of that, my father could work. So as a consequence of that, my father and we were self-sufficient as soon as possible. It doesn't mean that we didn't get help from churches or from charities who were, you know, very gracious, and they helped us. But my father was carrying the bulk of the weight of maintaining the family or supporting the family, because he could work. He had two jobs, actually, during that time. These people don't have that. And you're right. If they get a job, it's going to be illegally. So how are they going to survive? Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to pay their rent? I guess they're going to have to live with family. They're going to have to live with friends. But, you know, that's going to wear out eventually. So that's my concern, that these people are coming over, and they're coming over on a temporary basis. And if the judge says, no, you don't qualify for your asylum case, what's going to happen, George?
Well, that's, you know, we've done over 100 interviews of aliens, the migrants over here at the San Antonio Migrant Center. We've done over 100 interviews of individuals. The vast majority of them have told us that they were hoping for sponsors, but they don't have any. The vast majority have also told us that initially a family member or a friend told them to come over, but then changed their mind. These folks, we have a homeless camp that had developed across the street from the center. We had another one that had developed downtown in a park across the street from a homeless center. And we now, I mean, I, my uh, cameraman and I went down on Friday night after the football games. we went down Friday night to on San Pedro Avenue, which is where the migrant center is. And I will tell you that it is an absolute disaster. The petty theft. They're even seeing prostitution. We have buses arriving constantly. Buses arriving from Del Rio and Eagle Pass constantly. The capacity for that migrant center was supposed to be about 150. Latest estimates is that there are over 1,000 people. They don't have a place to sleep inside, and many of them are not used to air conditioning anyway, so they're sleeping outside. They've had to remove, well, they didn't have to, but they removed the curfew to allow people to go back and forth. I am not exactly sure why that decision was made, but people are now wandering in the middle of the night up and down the street and across the street and whatnot. Neighborhood, which backs up to the residential neighborhood that backs up to the center, has complaints because they've had petty theft, as well as people knocking on their doors on a regular basis, asking for food, asking for money. This was poorly planned, and mm-hmm. I am not sure that it wasn't intentionally planned, but it was very, very poorly planned.
Yeah.
And what we are seeing is what other communities are going to face. These 50 that were bused to Hyannisport or Cape Cod or wherever, are just a small drop in the bucket of what we
right.
are seeing here.
Right.
And I guarantee that, the homeless shelters and the social services in Dallas, in Houston, in Austin are certainly going to be overwhelmed before long
right.
by these migrants. And
well, go ahead. No, I was just going to say, and that's the whole point. I mean, that's my whole point, that these people are being they're being allowed to come to the country and to wait out the court case, I guess.
They're being used.
They're being, and in the interim, what do they do?
They don't.
This was the beauty of the Stay in Mexico program.
Correct.
Because the Stay in Mexico program discouraged them
exactly.
from coming to the United States. Now, we should point out.
All of them have told us, Silvio, all of them have told us, every single interview that we do, we ask them what encouraged you to come, and they tell you very, very quickly that they were encouraged because of Biden, because
right.
now you can get in and now you can come in. And,
right.
We are also now beginning to see middle class people
sure.
who are taking advantage. Why should they wait 4 or 5 years to enter legally when they can come in right now?
Well, and that's it. You have a situation where some of these Venezuelans, for example, and some of the Haitians that we saw, were actually living in Chile. Because
yes.
Chile has issued work visas for many of these people, because Chile is a growing economy, and was a huge growing economy, and they needed people. So many people from Venezuela, particularly the high skilled people, highly educated people, went to Chile to work. They also went to
correct.
Peru to work because they were given visas. And what I'm hearing is that they came here because they thought they could come in.
Exactly.
Had they been told in Chile, look, you're going to have to wait in Mexico, they would have said, well, that's okay. I'd rather wait in Chile because at least I got a job here. Okay. And that's the problem. And that's what I see the damage that is being done, not just to the border. We know that damage, but what is being done to these people who are being misled, really, to think that they're going to come here. I don't know, George, you know this better than me, but how long does it take for one of these cases to get to a court? I mean, how long does it take? From the moment
it used to take about two to three years.
There you go.
That long. It used to take. But there are millions backed up now. Not
right.
thousands. Millions. And in talking to my buddies at immigration, that who in reality, they are opting out. I mean, they are much like the police officers that are leaving because they're being disrespected. Lots of folks within immigration are leaving or retiring because they are being disrespected. They're
right.
frustrated. So what is happening now is that rather than having waiting lists that were in a few hundreds, maybe 1,000. Now it's in the millions.
Right.
And so it's just overwhelming.
So the possibility that some of these people could be in the United States waiting for their case.
Decades.
So now what are they going to do?
Exactly.
And this is the point that I keep coming back to. I understand why they want to come. I understand.
We all do.
We all do. Yeah. But it has to be done in a way that makes sense. And this, excuse me, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I think these people are being used, and unfortunately, they are, you know, creating problems not just on the border, but now everywhere else.
Well, let me add this one last thing, because when I was working in the Reagan administration in the Justice Department, one of the first things that I was assigned to personally, as well as we were working on, was this whole issue, first of all, of the Marielitos, the ones that were criminals, the few that got rounded up and, you know, some shipped back and some, you know, incarcerated. But the largest number that we were watching were young men from El Salvador and Nicaragua who were fleeing who were militarily trained, but who were fleeing the civil war. They did not want to fight in the military, so they were coming to the United States. Now, what was happening with this population, what was happening with these young men who were militarily trained, but who did not want to fight, they were coming to three spots, Los Angeles, Houston, and suburban Washington. And in Los Angeles, the Mexican gangs, the Chicano gangs, and the black gangs, the Crips, the Bloods, they started picking on them. And so these guys, because they had military training, began coalescing, began coming together to defend themselves. And that was the beginning. That was the beginnings of the Mara Salvatrucha, which has become an absolute deadly mafia.
Right.
And, you know, the same thing could happen with all of these young men from Venezuela and from Nicaragua, well, from Colombia, from all over the place that are coming in, but mostly from Venezuela that are coming in. I mean, if they haven't got anything to do, if they have no future, if they see themselves in desperate situations, you know, they'll probably turn to crime.
Right. Well, that's it. And the other thing, too, is at some point, and I think we could be seeing that pretty soon, many of these people are going to start feeling like they were cheated.
Yes.
They were brought here on false premises.
Exactly.
And they could be actually, as you say, they could be turning into some very bad habits or bad activity. So I just think it's a major mess. People say, well, what good does it do to take 50 buses to New York, 50 people in a bus to New York or Washington or Chicago? And I guess as a practical matter, I would say it doesn't do much good, but at least it shows people what the problem is down here. And the real problem, of course, is that 2 million people have been allowed to come in this way. I have nothing against asylum. I have nothing against an orderly immigration system, if they qualify. But the idea that people just walk in and they wait up here, I think that is, that simply our system is not capable of absorbing that. And, you know, you brought up the example of Mariel. That was back in April of 1980. And for people who don't remember, that was when 100,000 Cubans basically left Cuba and took boats to the United States. But that was over 30 days, and that was 100,000 people.
And it stopped.
It got stopped because the Carter administration drew the line and said, we're not tolerating this. And here it has never stopped, and that's the problem. That's the problem. And under President Trump, at least there was a something in place that prevented this from getting out of hand. So a lot of bad things are going to happen. That's my point. A lot of bad things are going to happen from this. And, you know, we've brought this up here. You brought it up, the possibility of violence or gangs. Lots of other things could happen. You have a bunch of people here at Function who cannot get a job. Now, they may get jobs illegally. We know that. But we're also at a moment, George, where we have a recession in the country. We're headed into a recession, so probably not a good time to bring in 2 million people. So it's just a bad idea overall. But Let me get to a couple of other topics because our time is flying and I want to make sure we talk about this. A poll came out, just came out, showing there is 5 over Beto O'Rourke. Now, I should add that there have been something like 40 or 50 polls done this year. And the average has been the governor plus 7. And a list of all of these polls is available over at Real Clear Politics. They store information like this. If you go to Real Clear Politics and look at the governor's race, Texas, you can see them all going back first week of the year. And two things about these polls, George, before I get your opinion. Number one is the governor is up by 7 on the average. And number two, not a single poll has shown Beto winning or within the margin of error. He's always between 40 and 45 in all these polls. The governor is between 46 and 50, 52 in one poll. So it seems to me that Beto O'Rourke is sort of stuck in that low 40s, and he doesn't seem to show any signs of being able to get out of that low 40s, George.
Again, I am not sure what the Democrats in general have to offer in this election. I mean, everything from inflation to an open border to the price of gasoline to the crime. I'm not sure what they can offer. At the same time, even more so, you look at poor Beto, and I'm going to use that adjective, that adverb, poor Beto, or adjective rather, poor Beto. I am not sure what he's got to offer. I mean, this is his third time to run, and he ran as a congressman, and then he ran against Ted Cruz, and now he's running against the governor. And at this point, I think it's his third strike because I'm not sure, you know, what he can offer. People see through the poor guy, right. And negative advertising is about the only thing that negative attacks are about the only thing because I'm not sure what positive he's got to offer.
Right. Well, and that's his problem, George. That if you're going to unseat an incumbent who may not be the most popular guy in Texas history, but you know he's in the high 40s, low 50s in terms of popularity.
He's done all right.
Yeah, I mean, he's not, in my opinion, he's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But I can understand anger about the pandemic and the border. I understand all of that. So there are some people out there who are angry. I get it, but I'm not really sure.
Not to cut you off, but I worry sometimes more about Republicans that are upset with the governor than I do about Democrats.
Well and that's what the undecided is. I'm yeah. convinced that when you look at all these polls, these undecided 7 to 8 points, I think those are all angry Republicans who haven't quite, you know, they're not ready, but they're not going to vote for Beto. We know that. So they're either going to stay home or they're going to vote for the governor at the last minute. But he's done a decent job. But if you're going to unseat a sitting governor, you're going to have to come up with, like you say, you have to have an agenda. You have to have a reason to say, I can do it better. And frankly, he hasn't. I mean, his campaign is full of generalities. He's in New York right now, raising money. He's over there. I've seen some of the ads that he's running. You know, let's bring leadership back to Texas. So I guess people in New York are going to give him money for Texas. I'm sure that's going to go over well down here. But I mean, I think you're right. Now, whether he's finished or not, I never say never, but I do think that as we were saying off the air, if he was asking my opinion, I would say, Beto, you need to take off about 5 years and get yourself a job, a non-controversial job, maybe a nonprofit.
Get yourself a job.
Yeah. And just basically just walk away from politics because you're right. He's burning himself up. We got a few minutes left, and I wanted to talk about those 3 congressional seats in South Texas. Henry Cuellar is the incumbent on one of those. Myra Flores, the Republican lady who won a couple of months ago, she's the incumbent. And then I don't know the third one. I think it's a new district. But there's a very good chance.
Kathy Garcia.
Okay,
Kathy
there you
Garcia.
Go. There's a very good chance that these 3 Republican ladies could actually win these seats. And Henry Cuellar is the Democrats who's hoping that doesn't happen. So how do you see it? How do you see those three districts? What are they saying down in South Texas about the possibility of these three Republican Latinas representing those three districts, George?
Well, unfortunately, I think the races have gotten tighter. And I think that these races are for these ladies to lose. And unfortunately, their campaigns are hitting skids, and that worries me. I mean, initially they were on fire. They were saying the things that people locally wanted to hear, but then for some reason, all of a sudden they've backed off the open border attacks. They've backed off the issue of a more secure border. And that has caused them, some support. And unfortunately, that has caused them some problems. The other problems that's caused is that, again, since the Democrats have nothing positive to offer, they have gone completely negative, and they have pulled out skeletons out of the closets of Myra Flores and out of Cassie. And they are really going to town just being super negative. And unfortunately, the local media is helping along. The other aspect of that is that the Spanish-speaking media has also been very, very critical of them. And these things are combining to make the races a whole lot tighter. I'm still very, very hopeful that there will be a red wave, that because of the situation with the Biden administration making all sorts of, Kamala claiming that the border is secure, et cetera, that they'll be able to pull it out. But I'm just very, very concerned about. I'm a little bit more concerned than I was before.
Well, we need to remember too is that Henry Cuellar is a very good candidate.
He is a very good candidate.
He's a very good candidate. He's been the congressman there for a long time, so he's
this
got
morning,
a lot of things.
Yeah,
he's got a lot
he
of things
criticized.
Going for him, and he's a pro-life. He criticizes the president.
He was criticizing
the
Biden administration
exactly.
Today about the border.
So he's not giving up on that issue. I mean, he's very strong on that issue. I think, though, you mentioned the key. The key is in South Texas, as in the whole country, the key is going to come down to turnout.
Yeah.
How big is the Republican turnout going to be? And I think that, in my opinion, it's going to be pretty big. But I guess we'll find out on the first Tuesday of November. But I think it's going to be big. And if you get that kind of turnout, if you get the kind of turnout that I'm thinking you're going to get here in Texas, then I think they may just get lucky. Those three leaders may just get lucky and be able to ride on that wave. I still think that, I'm not a betting person, so I'm not going to bet. And if I was a betting person, I would only bet with you, George. But I'm going to say that right now, I think that Henry Cuellar is going to basically get back in by a hair.
A little bit.
And I think the other two, the Republicans, are going to win. That's Myra Flores will keep her seat. And I think Cassie Garcia would be the other one, right? Or Monica de la Cruz.
Monica de la Cruz.
Yeah.
Cassie's running against
Henry. I think she's got the most difficult job. And
yes.
Simply because Henry Cuellar, she doesn't have an opening with Henry Cuellar. She cannot beat him up on abortion. She cannot beat him up on the border. So those are two issues that Henry is not vulnerable on. I don't know about the other two Democrats running. So I like it. I'm going to say
it'll be a 2-1.
Yeah, there'll be 2 out of 3. 2 out of 3 will be picked up. Well, George, I look at my watch here, and the problem with you is that the time flies. We need we have to have a watch that goes slow. It goes, instead of going 60 seconds, maybe we need it
maybe
to slow down.
Seconds.
Yeah, so that our minutes are longer. But I want to thank you so much for joining us. One of the comments that we got here was very interesting. We don't have a lot of time today, but we should pick this up on the next show that we do. And the comment is about increasing population people in so that you fill, so that you create population when you when you're looking for Congress representation. That's a very valuable comment. And
very valid.
I promise our friend who wrote that, that we're going to touch on. Yeah, we're going to touch. We're going to talk about that the next time. That'll be a segment that we'll do specifically on that because he's got a very valid point that you can actually.
And there has there has been a challenge that we should only count citizens.
Right.
The Trump administration wanted to do that, but you know, there was screaming and yelling and wailing of teeth.
No, but I mean, if you look at the way these people are being distributed, the 2 million.
Certainly appears that way.
You know, you could argue that they're being selectively distributed for that reason. So that's a very good topic. And I promise our viewer that we're going to touch that because it's a very good topic. We'll talk about that the next time. Well, George, the Cowboys won, so I guess you're going to go out and celebrate, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm going to try to relax because I'm still hyper from it.
Right. I'm not going to celebrate because I got to upload the show and do a couple of technical things here, but I'll listen to the post-game show, and I'll listen to Jerry Jones. I always enjoy doing that. Whether he wins or loses, Jerry Jones is a great guest.
Yes.
I'll just put it that way. George, thank you so much for joining us. And,
thank you.
We'll do it again. Thank you very much, and best of luck to you with your show and your appearances.
Yeah, just a real quick plug.
Yeah,
a real
go ahead.
Quick plug if people are interested in looking at what is happening at the Migrant Center. I've got on my YouTube channel, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, on my YouTube channel, I've got some videos at 3 minutes long that will just blow you away.
All right. Well, that's something we need to check out. Thank you for pointing. Where are you speaking here next? Where is your next speaking assignment?
In fact, I'm going to D.C. for the entire week starting on Monday.
Okay.
There will be an immigration forum that I'll be participating in, and I'll be up there all week long.
Well, we'll keep up with that, with your information and that. Have a great evening. Tell those people in Washington, D.C., we still think their name should be the Redskins.
Yes.
This commander stuff wears me out. I have no idea. That and the Cleveland Guardians are the two
Cleveland
dumbest
Guardians.
Teams.
Yeah. The Cleveland Guardian sounds like a newspaper.
Yeah, it does. The Cleveland Indians are now the Guardians, and the Washington Redskins are now the Commanders. I don't know. I'm not used to that yet. So I'm not used to that. So it'll take me a while, if ever, to get used to it. Thanks, George. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much.
All right. Our good friend George Rodriguez joining us. We had a good chat there about Texas and what's going on down on the border, those three congressional seats, and then, of course, the Abbott-O'Rourke race. Again, you know, if you look at the polling data, all of it from the beginning of the year, the governor is up by 7. That's the average. And there's not a single poll that has come out this year that shows Beto within the margin of error, which is usually 3 points, or being the governor. So I got to feel pretty good if I'm the governor here. And then with respect to the situation with these buses and these migrants, look, you know, you cannot let 2 million people into the country like this. That's the chaos. That was the bad decision. That's what made everything else just come undone. So the Biden administration needs to pay a political price for that because that was a very bad decision. That and doing away with the Trump energy policy, the two biggest mistakes, I think, that they made early on in the administration. Have a good evening, everybody. Thank you so much. And we will be putting the audio of this interview on the Blog Talk Radio podcast. That'll happen later tonight. So for those of you who listen to the Blog Talk Radio podcast, this audio will be available Sunday night. Thank you. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.